Wherever cancer is, Hancock Health will fight. In any part of you and in all corners of East Central Indiana. From Indianapolis to Greenfield, to Knightstown to Greensburg. From hospital rooms to family rooms, we fight. With technology and medicine. With care backed by the wisdom of Mayo Clinic. For you, for your family, and for your future in Decatur County. We fight cancer here. HancockHealth.org/cancer.
Hammer and Nigel.
Do you believe these characters are weirdos?
So let's rock!
You know, Hammer, I think it's hilarious. Also, at the same time, sad. Our President of the United States, Joe Biden, said, quote, "Don't." When it came to Iran attacking Israel and sending over the 300 drones, and Iran was humiliated because Israel shot down all 300 of those suicide drones and missiles. And then Joe Biden whips around and tells Israel, "Don't," in terms of a response, and they did. They it was a limited attack last night, and they took out an air base. It was kind of next to a nuclear site in Iran. They did.
So first of all, your Biden impression is way too coherent. Even though there's an audible grunt followed by just one word, it's still way too coherent.
You're right. You're right. I need to work on it.
But everything that, quote, experts are saying about last night was this was a limited attack.
It was a demonstration that they could get into their air defenses at will. They got the air base in Iran, which happens to be kind of next door to one of those nuclear sites in the same area. So what's that message say? Hey, we decided not to hit your nuke sites this time, but we could have done worse, and you know it.
We know where they're at, and you can't stop us moving forward. So now the question becomes, is everybody cool? Like, is everybody even now?
No.
Because Iran sent this really weak, attack at Israel. It was drones, a few missiles, but they telegraphed the whole thing. Everybody knew what was coming. It was purely for propaganda purposes for Iran. And in response, Israel, whose military is a badass, kind of does a half rear-ended attack at Iran.
It was limited.
But it sent a message. So is everybody even? Is everybody cool? Or is this a prelude to something bigger? And that's the question. Are we going to start seeing some of these proxy groups affiliated with the Iranians starting to make a little bit noise?
Well, that's the thing. Iran's backing down. They have already signaled the intent not to respond, and they're lying and claiming the Israelis weren't even there in the first place. It was some sort of internal attack, internal explosion. So they're already denying that Israel had anything to do with it. And boy, yeah, you're right. It's going to go back to proxies. It's going to go back to Hamas and Israel and Hezbollah. And those two proxies aren't doing very well right now either.
Aaron Cohen is a former Israeli special ops vet. He jumped on Fox News last night as this was all breaking down to talk about what's next for some of these proxy groups, the BFF of Iran.
So this is the MO of the IRGC. They're gonna gas up all their proxies. First of all, Israel's been dealing with Hezbollah for like 20 years. They were in southern Lebanon for several years. This is back in my day in the 90s, ended up pulling out. Hezbollah has always been a constant threat on the northern border. We're just seeing more of it ramped up since October 7th, since October 8th. So we're going to see more of that coming from that southern border of Lebanon into Israel. This is that multi 360 type of attack with Israel's back into the ocean. So that's definitely a threat. It's a concern. So Israel's got to keep an eye on the northern part of its border up there, where 80,000, 100,000 citizens have been displaced since October 7th, since the war started.
And of course, the Iranian state-run media, they're basically treating this like a win. They're telling their people, listen, all those explosions you may have seen, that was us shooting down the things coming in.
Okay.
So this is really about propaganda for Iran. There's a lot of similarities between what Iran is doing now to what Fat Boy was doing with North Korea for a while. They want to be viewed as players on the national stage, so they're going to make as much noise as they can. They're going to use their state-run media to brainwash their people. And now the question is, what's next. Let's transition to what's happening here in the United States. We're going to check in with a certain president. We're going to check in with a man that's running again. We're going to check in with wheeling, dealing, hair sniffing, kiss stealing Joe Biden.
I got hairy legs.
I lost my Johnson. We're on track to cut First Lady in half.
Nige, we got a lot of problems in this country.
No, you don't say.
I still think we're the greatest country on earth, but we've got issues. We've got high inflation. We've got crime. We've got a wide open border. But Joe Biden yesterday was very upset about something else. He was very upset that little kids give him the finger.
I never thought I'd see a time when I'm going through a neighborhood or a rural town in the West or Senate to see big signs that have a Trump sign in the middle that says F Biden, and having a little kid standing with his middle finger, 7 years old, 8 years old. Well, I promise it happens all the time.
It happens all the time, Nige.
So what does that say? It's like he's shocked. There's actually people in rural America that don't like me? F Joe Biden?
Sounds like those areas have good parents to me, but...
Yeah. I don't know. If you let your 7-year-old flip off the president of the United States, I'm on the edge on that. I'm towing a line there. I think I'm putting my foot down and saying, kid, put your finger away.
Never been to Philadelphia, have you?
No, I've never been to Philly.
The people that booed Santa Claus when he showed up at a football game, they've got little kids that will do worse than that when visiting players come in to play one of their teams. It is what it is, right? If Joe Biden is so concerned about what little kids are doing, that tells you everything you need to know about Joe Biden. He's softer than a baby's backside. Now, while on the campaign trail yesterday, he did what he does best, speak gibberish. Which brings us to another edition of The Gibberish Man.
And now, time for another conversation with Gibberish Man.
He's the Gibberish Man, he's the Gibberish Man. He talks in gibberish, Gibberish Man. No, you can't understand the Gibberish Man, because he talks in gibberish, Gibberish Man.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Gibberish Man.
Instead of importing foreign products, I'm exporting further products. Further products. Further products. Further products.
No, you can't understand the gibberish man, because he talks in gibberish, gibberish man.
I am in no way, shape, or form going to twist myself into a pretzel and try to interpret what he was trying to get across in that speech. Do you have any idea?
Well, lucky for you, I've got the official transcript that the White House provides. I'm going to hand this to producer Allison. Allison, I would like for you to read just plain, just dry, the transcript that the White House provided.
Instead of importing foreign products, I'm exporting further products.
Now do you understand, Nige?
No.
Thursday.
No, actually, I don't.
What if producer Allison read it along with Joe Biden?
That might help.
Oh, great.
Instead of important foreign products, I'm exporting further products.
Now I get it. Crystal clear.
He's exporting products.
Right. What's so hard to understand?
Oh, I'm the dumb one. Okay.
Listen,
fine.
If you don't understand what further products are, then I don't know what to tell you. By the way, you can purchase your Gibberish Man t-shirt at the Hammer and Nigel Show store. store.hammerandnigel.com.
I saw there's a bunch of new t-shirts up there.
There's a Gibberish Man t-shirt. We've got stuff about the month of May in Indy, a new patriotic line, George freaking Washington, a 1776 shirt. I think that's my favorite new shirt that's out there.
No, I like the Indian May, the fast cars, cold beer, tasteful nudes. That's a great logo. That's fantastic.
So check it out right now, store.hammerandnigel.com. We've got it on our Facebook and our Twitter.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Finding the right healthcare partner for your business isn't easy, but Hancock Wellbeing at Work can help. We're a different kind of program that combines employer clinics with a wellness strategy. And in a lot of cases, we can deliver greater health benefits at a lower cost. See why well-being for your employees is well-being for your business at HancockWellbeingAtWork.org.
You're listening to the Hammer and Nigel Show.
My name is Nigel. Jason Hammer is here, also live in the studio with us. Matt Baer, the traffic beast from the WIBC Traffic Center, also host, co-host of the Supporting Sobriety podcast. And before the segment is done, I definitely want to get your clip from a podcast that I was listening to. I thought was fascinating and revealing, and I wanted to get your take on it. But right now, though, how excited are you for the Indiana Pacers and the playoffs? Game one, 7 o'clock, Sunday night, 7-game series, 4 games guaranteed. We got a couple of games here at home. Matt Baer, what do you think?
I think there's something special that happens around here whenever the Pacers go to the playoffs, and it's been forever.
Oh, no.
So it's I think everybody's going to be vibrant downtown. This is a fun team, and I mean, there's a little inconsistency with the Pacers sometimes, but at the same time, Miles Turner turned out to be something all of a sudden, you know? So I think it's a fun team. It's going to be a 7-game set, 6-7 game set, and a team that, Milwaukee's missing their star player?
At least at the beginning of the series, that's what we're hearing. That Giannis is probably going to miss at least the first game, maybe more. And depending on how the series goes, he might try to rush back.
And then what about the guy that his name's escaping me from Toronto that we acquired?
Oh, Pascal Siakam.
Is he okay?
He's good to go.
All right.
Ready to roll.
An injury there for
I mean, let's get some Pacers and Racers going at the end of the month. You know,
right.
let's do something like that.
Is there anything better than the Indy 500 than going straight from there to the Pacer playoff game?
Right.
You did it, didn't you?
Yes.
You do it?
Oh, that's awesome.
I did it one year, and it was a total nightmare because that was the year the race ended under rain and it ended early. And then I went to the Pacer game and the Pacers lost. And then there was a tornado that night. So it really wasn't
okay.
A banner night in the city of Indianapolis. A short 500, a Pacer playoff loss, and a tornado.
All the pieces were there, though. We were so close. Was that the Roy Hibbert team? That was the Roy Hibbert goose egg game. Or
and they lost to the Pistons night. Yeah. And then, you know, tornado stuff. But again, whether you're a Pacer fan or not, it's cool when the city has good positive vibes. And when there's a little bit warmer weather, I know it's chillier today than it has been, but you know, by the time that first playoff game rolls around, we're looking at temperatures in the 60s. You know, people are sitting outside at the Tin Roof, at coaches, at the restaurants, and there's a little vibe in the air, man. It's positive, and I love it.
Yeah, and think about everything that's happening. You have the Pacers, you have the Fever coming up, probably winning titles here before too long, and then you have IU winning in the transfer portal right now. I mean,
hang another banner. Yeah. Banner number 6. Transfer portal national champion.
Everything I'm reading, it looks good. I mean, they're bringing in a team from all corners of the earth right now. It looks like fun and Purdue's pretty good. So we have a lot of good basketball going on around here, which is what we need here in Indiana. So I'm excited about it. Win or lose, the Pacers are getting better. Everything seems to be improving.
That first home game for the Pacers is a week from tonight at 5:30 p.m.
Strange start time.
First two games are in Milwaukee. Sunday is game one. And then the first home game for the Pacers, 5:30 p.m. start time.
Yeah, traffic is, you're going to have your hands full all week from today.
You can also get a special at Applebee's at 5:30, as I
understand. Ask for Cheryl. Tell them Rob Kendall sent you. So you are the host of the Supporting Sobriety podcast. You're one of the hosts. Ryan Hedrick of the Newsroom is another part of this. And you can find this podcast anywhere podcasts are provided. It feels like that's the line everybody says.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the Twitter handle is what?
@sobriety_pod. X and Instagram rolling right now. And we love the conversation if anybody wants to come over.
And again, that's cool. Say this every week, but I know there's people that listen for the first time. your podcast, again, you and Ryan, both recovering addicts of various different things. This is a podcast not designed necessarily for the people that are going through what you went through, but for everybody else, the family members, the friends that had to deal with you at your worst.
Yeah, it's we call it the people behind the people that helped bring us back to life, you know, brought us out of the abyss. And this is kind of our living amends, kind of a way to say thank you. We are doing the very best we can right now to not put anybody through that again. And that's, I mean, I remember before I actually said, yeah, I'm an alcoholic. There's a lot of drinking that happened before then. Before I finally said, yeah, I'm an alcoholic, I didn't know anything about alcoholism and I didn't believe in it. I didn't think it was a real thing. I was like, well, an alcoholic can just stop drinking.
Just stop whenever you want.
Yeah, stop whenever you want. And that's what I told people all the time. Now, I'd be on my fifth or sixth well tequila by then.
Right.
And I'd be like, oh, I can quit this one out.
There's an old Norm MacDonald bit, the late, great Norm MacDonald, that says, when you're passing out diseases, alcoholism is the best one.
Right. Well, it's a socially acceptable disease. I mean, if you're an alcoholic, at least people are like, well, this guy's fun. I can go party with him.
But notice he said well tequila, by the way. The stuff, the warm yellow stuff in the plastic bottle.
Right. They wring it out from a dish rag into a plastic cup.
But I was listening to the show where you were talking about relapsing.
Yes.
Is that what this clip is?
Yeah,
this
it's a relapse clip, and I talk about my relapses because it's something I am very much an expert on. I mean, we speak only from our own experiences. We're not experts on anything, but we speak from our experiences, and I know relapse is a huge part of my story.
So let's play a little clip here. This is from the Supporting Sobriety podcast. This is about relapses.
I didn't even want to get sober the first time I went to recovery. I thought I'd moderate, and I bought wine on the way home. I'm sure I've talked about that, but that was relapse one. And then I got sober, and then COVID came around, and I couldn't do anything. So I used that as an excuse to drink. That's relapse two. Then I felt a woman had rejected me. She really hadn't, but I have an alcoholic brain with the alcoholic ego. Relapse three. Finally had a good day at work. Not a great day at work, just good enough for relapse four. I'm probably leaving one out, but we get the point. Even as I round the corner to 3 years of sobriety, I'm still on the journey.
Yeah.
Are you scared? Like, is it always in the back of your mind that you're going to relapse again, or is that kind of left you?
Well, there's
a little
trepidation there because, you know, we never have a maid. I mean, we never go in with the attitude as, yeah, I have this licked.
Okay.
So, you know, I mean, it's a lifetime commitment to your sobriety, and you have to be serious about it. But I wanted that clip was important to me because, I mean, you can relapse, and you don't want to, but you can relapse 1,000 times and still be in this thing. You know, as long as you're alive
that's
and
the point.
Breath, yeah, you can keep going and you can keep coming.
Because I know how bad people feel if they relapse and they're addicts it just destroys them, but you got to get back on the horse, so to speak.
When I was in relapse, the only thing I could think about was getting sober again and how I'm going to have to go back to the hospital detox. And that's what people think about. All your friends are sober. You know, all of a sudden you have sober friends. You're like, I miss my friends and everything. So yeah, that clip is important to me because you can get this even if you continually relapse.
If somebody has a question for you, maybe they want to talk about the podcast, talk about your experience. Maybe they want to slide in your DMs and send you a nude. Where can they find you?
Nudes at Matt in Traffic. And you can send them to @sobriety_pod too. I mean, I'll look at the nudes anywhere. But that's the best place for a conversation. You can message us. You can just tweet us. Whatever you want to do. If you need something private, yeah, the message is the best way to go. But we are here. We love the conversation. And we are so blessed to be able to have it and be alive today. And thank you guys.
Right
and thank
on.
You, Allison.
And we love you, Matt.
We love you guys so much.
It's the Hammer and Nigel Show.
The Hammer and Nigel Show.
My name is Nigel. Jason Hammer over there with a special guest on the hotline.
Fresh off of his world tour, Tommy Pigott joins us.
World.
He's the RNC Strategic Communications Director. Tommy, how are you?
I'm doing well.
What did that mean, world tour? What do you mean? What's going on here? What'd I miss?
Oh, well, I just got back from Argentina, actually.
Oh, a vacation?
Well, it was my honeymoon, actually.
Oh, nice. Tommy Pigott got married!
If you put your ear up to the radio right now, Tommy, you can hear every teenage girl crying across central Indiana right now that you're off the market.
Congratulations, my man.
Thank you very much. It's crazy it happened. You spend so much time preparing for it, and then it goes by in a blink of an eye. But it was fantastic. It was great. The trip was great, but great to be back.
Have you gotten used to wearing a wedding ring yet? Because for me, and again, I've been married over 20 years now, I still remember it like it was yesterday. I was so awkward. I wasn't used to wearing a wedding ring.
Yeah, I got to say, it's a bit like those fidget spinners, you know, where you kind of play with it. I keep on finding myself spinning it, you know, like absentmindedly. I actually didn't mention it. I didn't mention it to some folks, and I was doing it in a meeting. I was just spinning it absentmindedly, and people thought I was passive-aggressively trying to suggest something had happened. You know, but in reality, I just it's a habit of mine. So it's taking some getting used to, but it feels good. I got to say, it feels good, though. It feels good to be married. So
we had our honeymoon in Cancun, and I remember I'd go in the pool and I kept thinking my ring's gonna fall off. I was thinking constantly about the stupid ring at that point.
Well, I was looking. I had a similar thing happen to me, and I was looking into $10 fake ones or something like that to wear to the beach or something. You
nice.
Know,
good idea.
It is a lot of pressure. I mean, I feel funny saying it. I guess women feel this way all the time when they have all this jewelry on, but it's a lot of pressure to have this ring on my finger. So we'll see. I'll try to come up with some solution.
All right, Tommy, let's get down to business here. The House impeached Alejandro Mayorkas, the DHS secretary, and then it went to the Senate. And the Senate promptly took all the paperwork, wadded it up, wiped their backside, and threw it in the trash can here. I want to get your thoughts.
Well, outrageous. It's absolutely outrageous. I mean, we're not even talking about the final vote that Senate Democrats took. They didn't even let a trial happen. They blocked complete accountability. And if you think of the authority that Congress has through these impeachment proceedings to get to the bottom of issues, the Senate could have done so much in terms of building on what the House had, in terms of getting accountability for the American people and making sure that we actually enforce our border laws. Mayorkas went up and he testified before the Senate after this vote. And there were so many times before the Senate that Mayorkas either claimed he didn't have information or claimed things that were contradictory to what the facts showed. And Senate Democrats decided to let him completely off the hook. It shows the only way we're going to get Mayorkas out of there is if we beat Biden in November, and we really have to, and get those common sense border security measures back in place.
And what does it say that the Senate, which is ran by the Democrats, and there are some wishy-washy Republicans that usually side with the Democrats, they're still afraid to move forward and have a roll call vote because nobody wants to be associated with saying yay to keep this zero?
Well, it shows that they're the party of open borders, but are too scared to stand on their own principles. I mean, it's the worst of all worlds. They're trying to protect the people that created this crisis in terms of the Biden administration, Alejandro Mayorkas and Joe Biden, and they're too afraid to actually stand up and explain why they're doing it. They're trying to hide behind these different votes that don't actually try to put them on the record. But the American people are too smart for that. And in fact, I think this was probably the worst thing they could have done. I mean, as an example, we're talking about people that were released into the country, and there's certain laws that prioritize and dictate when someone is allowed to be released into the country or paroled into the country. And there are several different examples where people were released into the country due to lack of space or other examples provided that are not what the law says should be happening. So Mayorkas was asked about these different examples, and Mayorkas either claimed ignorance, he claimed that wasn't happening, a whole host of really bad answers when he went up to testify before the Senate. A trial before the Senate is what we should have the answer to these questions for. A trial before the Senate would have said, are they actually following the law? And the Democrats are so afraid of their base, they are too afraid to find out the Biden administration is following the law. That's the basic, one of the basic duties of the Senate, to hold the executive branch accountable, and Senate Democrats are too afraid to do it.
Tommy Pickett, RNC Strategic Comms Director here on the Hammer and Nigel Show. Tommy, let's turn to Israel and Iran. I think Joe Biden's leverage in the Middle East with Israel and or Iran is pretty much gone because he said, don't, to Iran in terms of attacking Israel, and they did. And then he spun around and said, don't, to Israel when talking about responding to Iran, and they did. What did you what does it say about the Biden administration and what you saw take place over the past few weeks with Iran and Israel?
Well, Joe Biden has proven himself to be an extremely weak president, a president that no one listens to. And that's dangerous for the entire world. We should have a president that's projecting strength and standing by our allies. And this is one of countless examples where this has happened. We're in Afghanistan. He made promises that weren't followed through, and we saw a disastrous Afghanistan withdrawal. He's told Putin, don't invade Ukraine, and Putin invaded Ukraine. We've seen countless examples of this happening where no one listens to Joe Biden because Joe Biden is weak. And he's weak when we see him talk every single day, when we see him hide from questions. People can see he's weak, but he's also weak in his policies. He has this policy of appeasement when it comes to Iran, for example, where he is actively unfreezing billions of dollars for the world's largest state sponsor of terror. He's refusing to take action to actually reinforce and reestablish those sanctions. At the same time, while Iran is profiting off of their oil sales, and the Biden administration is refusing to take steps to crack down on those oil sales, there are steps we need to be taking. There are steps that President Trump took to apply maximum pressure on Iran. Joe Biden has refused to do that. It goes to show that Biden is far from being an expert at foreign policy like he claims. He is weak, and his policy is based off of appeasement. He has refused to learn the lessons that you cannot give money to terrorists and expect it to go well. We need to have maximum pressure. We need peace through strength. We need President Trump back in the White House. It's just amazing how much chaos Joe Biden has sown throughout the world with his weak leadership in just a matter of years.
And keeping it with Joe Biden, watching him out on the campaign trail has been wild. I don't know, like, when you got back from your honeymoon, but we've been watching Joe Biden going out on the stump, and he's shuffling, he's mumbling, he's speaking gibberish, he's talking about cannibalism. Like, his tour right now is, like, wilder than Van Halen back out on the road in 1984. As hard of partiers as David Lee Roth and Van Halen were, I don't think I remember them talking about cannibalism, Tommy.
Yeah, I mean, it was quite something, this swing through Pennsylvania he did. We've been watching it here as well, and it's astonishing. I mean, you never know what's going to come out of his mouth, except for you know that it's likely not true. It's something that he just came up with on the spot. It's really concerning from the fact that he's just making stuff up, but it also shows that even when they have these completely staged events, he still makes a fool out of himself. He went to Sheetz, for example, and Wawa on this trip, and there was nobody there. He walked in, and people are practically afraid of him. And he says hi to them. He just shuffles past them, right? And it's embarrassing. I mean, and this is a completely staged event. There was video before he went into the Wawa of his staff going through and telling everyone in the Wawa exactly what they're supposed to do. And Biden still gets lost in the Wawa with no one else in the Wawa. I mean, it's astonishing to me. He just shuffles around. And I think also the contrast that we have seen this week between President Trump going to that bodega in Harlem, yes, where you saw people coming out and cheering for President Trump in deep blue Harlem, versus Biden, who couldn't get a crowd in the deepest of blue areas and is getting lost in Wawa's. I mean, that is the contrast, or one of them, that we see right now. President Trump with a groundswell of support across this country to make America great again, and Joe Biden can't even order a milkshake or close a takeout box inside of a gas station. I mean, it's so embarrassing. It just is another reason why Joe Biden cannot win in November.
And that's really my last question for you, Tommy. Is there a silver lining here with the Trump criminal trial over falsifying business records to hide the Stormy Daniels thing? I mean, he's got to stay in New York. He really can't campaign. But, I mean, his profile is up in New York, especially in a county that was like, 85% voted for Biden back in the last election. Is there a positive here that we're seeing with Joe Biden going through what is a travesty of justice at this point and a political witch hunt?
I think ultimately the American people are seeing this for what it is, which is a witch hunt. So I hate to frame it as a positive, but I think it goes to the intelligence of the American people. It goes that the American people can see what's happening. They can see what President Trump is going through. They can see the fact that Alvin Bragg is a completely political DA, and they can see this witch hunt for what it is. So I think the American people are seeing that. They're stepping up and supporting President Trump. And I think the American people do not want to see the justice system weaponized in a political persecution. They don't want to see that happen. And so I think the American people are speaking loud and clear. And I think that's one of the things we're seeing across the country.
Check out some of his work on the popular Twitter handle, X handle, at RNC Research. Tommy Pigott, good conversation, man. We'll talk again next week.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
Finding the right healthcare partner for your business isn't easy, but Hancock Wellbeing at Work can help. We're a different kind of program that combines employer clinics with a wellness strategy. And in a lot of cases, we can deliver greater health benefits at a lower cost. See why well-being for your employees is well-being for your business at HancockWellbeingAtWork.org.
And Scott happened to be caller number 9. Scott, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Scotty doesn't know.
Scott, man, we're doing well. We've got a couple of Aerosmith tickets. Our last pair for their Peace Out farewell tour with the Black Crowes, January 16th, Gainbridge Fieldhouse. We want you to win these tickets. Are you an Aerosmith fan, Scott?
I am.
Good. So you feel like you know some of the big hits, right?
I would think so, yeah.
All right, we're going to play Sing Along With Me, and this is how it's going to work. Here in just a moment, I am going to sing a popular, well-known Aerosmith song. I will stop at a certain point. Then if you get the next line right, just get close to being right, we'll give you credit for it. Get 2 out of 3, you get the tickets, okay?
All right, understood.
All right, Sing Along With Me, Aerosmith hits number 1. All right. Seesaw swinging with the boys in the school with their feet flying up in the air. Singing hey diddle diddle with the kitty in the middle. I'm swinging like I just don't care. So I took a big chance at the high school dance with a missy who was ready to play. Wasn't me she was fooling because I knew what she was doing when she told me how to walk this way. She told me to
walk this way.
Yeah! Talk this way!
All right, Scott.
That was impressive.
There we go. One down. You get this next one right. We'll throw a party. We'll give you the tickets. Now, Nige, I might need your help on the background vocals here.
All right. Well, okay. We'll see what I can do here.
All right, Allison, go ahead. Gonna be a penthouse pauper.
Oh.
Gonna be a millionaire.
Whoa, yeah.
Gonna be a real fast talker.
Whoa.
Have me a love affair. Gotta get my timing right. It's a test that I got to pass. I'll chase you all the way to the stairway, honey. Kiss your sassafras. Loving
an elevator.
Yeah!
There we go. I like it.
We might as well see if we can get the third one just for
blanks and giggles.
Yeah.
All right, you've already got the tickets, Scott. You're already awesome. Going to the show, the farewell show, Aerosmith, Black Crowes. This is just for blanks and giggles here. Let's see if you would have got this one right, okay? Uh-oh, here we go.
Uh-oh.
Sing with me just for today, maybe tomorrow, the good Lord.
Take you away.
I jumped in a little late on that one.
That's all right.
There you go, my man.
Scotty.
Scott, enjoy the show. You won the tickets. Somebody else has to drive and just have an awesome time, man.
Right on. Nigel, by the way, long time no talk.
What's up,
Scott,
man?
Northview Church back in the day.
Northview Christian Church in Danville?
Yes, sir.
Boy, that is back in the day. Is it Scotty?
I won some tickets from you off the X back in the day.
Is this is your last name start with a P?
Yes, sir.
Oh, man, I was in love with your sister back in the day. I totally wanted to marry Suzanne. Oh, man, I loved her. Scotty, good hearing from you, brother.
You too. I appreciate it, guys.
Okay.
Yep, Scott, hang on, and Allison will take care of you.
Remember Scott.
Remember her sister, apparently, too.
Oh, I was in love with her.
Now, earlier this day, the promotions team sent us an email. This was probably like 8:30, 9 in the morning, that only 15 tickets were left for our Tales from the Track event presented by Relay Indiana, the big event that we're doing with Scott Dixon. So if you want to go, if you got paid today and you've been waiting to get that Friday paycheck, go to the events page at WIBC.com. I'm not sure if any are left at this point, but you can try, because this thing is going to sell out by the end of the day. There were 15 tickets left earlier. Buy yours now. The events page at WIBC.com. We've also got it pinned to the top of the Hammer and Nigel Show social media.
Hammer and Nigel.
You believe these characters are weirdos?
So let's rock!
No, I'm not going to waste any time, Hammer. Let's get right into a heated round of legal stuff!
Crime. Punishment. Judges. Legal stuff.
Okay, the jury selection almost complete in the Trump trial with the non-disclosure agreement. Stormy Daniels, they said he's breaking a bunch of campaign finance laws in order to pay her off. Blah, blah, blah. You know the story. Alvin Bragg, the DA, his predecessor didn't want anything to do with this. Neither did Merrick Garland and the Department of Justice. They decided to go on with it anyway, even though the statute of limitations has run out a long time ago. And there's just a few alternates needed in Trump's Stormy Daniels, quote, hush money trial.
Now, this judge is trying to be tough with Donald Trump. He's put a gag order on Donald Trump. So how do you think Donald Trump responded to that? By speaking to the media in the hallway of the courtroom a little bit earlier today.
I'm supposed to be in Georgia. I'm supposed to be in North Carolina, South Carolina. I'm supposed to be in a lot of different places campaigning. But I've been here all day on a trial that really is a very unfair trial. And I'm sitting here for days now, from morning till night, in that freezing room. Freezing. Everybody was freezing in there.
I like that's what he's getting. That's what he's complaining about. He's getting railroaded. It's freezing in the courtroom.
Too cold in the courtroom. Here's a little bit more of Donald Trump.
You got a DA that's out of control. You have a judge that's highly conflicted. The whole thing is a mess. And you have the leading candidate and leading crooked Joe Biden by law. He's the one that should be in trial. He's a crook. You got a crooked president. He should be in trial with all the stuff he's done and his family. He should be in trial. But he's the one in charge. His top people are here working with the DA's office to make sure everything goes right. But it shouldn't go right because they have no case. And that's what this is all about. And it really is a shame. This country is devolving into a third world country between having no borders, having no justice, we have no justice, and having a press that doesn't want to cover the facts. So,
I mean, the judge in this trial donated to Joe Biden's campaign. He donated to an organization, a progressive organization that was called something along the lines of Stop Republicans. I mean, it's pretty transparent what's going on here. They are trying to stymie Trump's campaign, keep him off the trail. Meanwhile, polls are going up, especially in New York, where I think there's a part of this, to me anyway, where Donald Trump could take advantage of the fact that he is kind of stuck in New York. Goes down to that bodega that the remember the guy that he killed his attacker, the owner of that bodega killed the attacker, and now fat Alvin Bragg put him in jail for 2 weeks
right
before he dropped the charges.
He's doing rallies in New York.
Yeah, I think he's got one in Jersey here coming up pretty soon.
That was unheard of, you know, before the 2020 race, or really the 16 race. I know he would stop and maybe make a speech from time to time, but full-on Trump-style rallies. Now, whether it's true or not, I don't know. He feels like New York is in play for him in the presidency. But the other question I have, and this has nothing to do with his legal situation, are they not allowed to have boom microphones in New York? Because every time Donald Trump speaks, it's in a hallway. Nobody seems to have a microphone. It's this echoey sound, and it's like this for everybody. Can a brother get a boom mic? Is that asking too much?
I think it might be.
More legal stuff here. Anti-Israel protesters who blocked the Golden Gate Bridge for like 4 hours in San Francisco.
Anti-Israel's too nice. It's pro-Hamas. Pro-terrorist organization protesters.
26 of them blocking traffic for more than 4 hours They were released without charges being filed.
You don't say. How can that happen?
The city's top prosecutor said they don't have enough evidence to charge them.
Can you please replace the word evidence with balls? That sounds a little more accurate, because the city's top prosecutor doesn't have enough balls to charge them.
So let me ask you this. If 26 people that were all wearing red MAGA hats blocked the Golden Gate Bridge for 4 hours demanding election security, do you think they all would have been released from jail?
I mean, like, any cause involving Donald Trump, protesting the sham trial that's about to take place with Donald Trump. No, they all would have been dragged by their necks off the bridge immediately. They'd still be in jail.
I mean, they'd open up Alcatraz again to put the red MAGA hat people in.
I mean, it's not funny, but it's true.
Right, right.
It's sick, and it's San Francisco. What do you expect?
More legal stuff. An Air Canada employee was one of six people arrested in connection with a gold heist that stole $22 million worth of gold from the Toronto Pearson Airport. Here's a police detective during a press conference talking about how the gold was used to purchase illegal firearms.
This isn't just about gold. This is about how gold becomes guns.
We believe that they've melted down the gold, and then the profits they got from the gold, they used to help finance the firearm, obviously purchasing the illegal firearms.
So this wasn't, you know, a case of, like, the guy that worked in the Biden administration, that bald, freaky trans dude that was stealing luggage out of airports. This was an organized operation stealing millions of dollars worth of gold bars, melting them down, and then purchasing illegal guns.
Wasn't this the plot of the third Austin Powers movie?
I love gold!
Gold member?
The taste of it, the smell of it, the texture of it.
Allison, it's Friday. It's a beer sample Friday. We'll kickstart the weekend a little later on, but to get everybody kind of ready for that, let's do some booze news.
You set them up and I'll knock them back, Lloyd. One by one.
We are gonna read booze news, cause it's really fun.
Once it hits your lips, it's so good.
Hammer and Nigel presents
booze news, booze news. Yeah.
I love this guy. He's 69 years old. He's in Australia. He broke a world record by hitting 120 different bars in 24 hours.
Not all heroes wear capes.
He had to order a drink at each one and consume at least 4 ounces. Here's Dave Clarkson and his buddy talking about the record-breaking attempt.
I'm normally very unassuming, but I'm probably leading the world in arrogance. When you are a little bit older, you'll stop sleeping in the park, and you will go to the spreadsheet and the pivot table.
He moves really fast for a guy who's twice my age.
What's sad is, you know, I'm almost 48. I haven't been to 120 different bars in a year, much less 24 hours. Now, back in my 20s, sure, but this guy's almost 70.
Right. He's putting in work. Now, you know who the unsung hero is in this whole thing? His buddy that went with him. Because he knows he's not going to be the one that gets the record. No one's going to see this guy's name in the Guinness Book of World Records the whole time. He's just a good friend that believed in the cause.
I believe they call that a wingman.
He wanted to be the wingman to help out his buddy break the record for most bars attended in a 24-hour period. That's the real MVP right there.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Finding the right healthcare partner for your business isn't easy, but Hancock Wellbeing at Work can help. We're a different kind of program that combines employer clinics with a wellness strategy. And in a lot of cases, we can deliver greater health benefits at a lower cost. See why well-being for your employees is well-being for your business at HancockWellbeingAtWork.org.
Hammer and Nigel presents
is...
It depends upon what the meaning of the word is.
Is this anything?
All right, let's rock and roll.
Hammer, how do we play? Is this anything?
I'm going to run a couple different back page stories your way. You will be the one that breaks down all of the information and gives all of us a verdict. Is this story in question really anything or not?
Okay.
We start with this. A TikTok doctor.
Oh, you could just stop right there and move on to the next story.
A TikTok doctor is trending after he said we should all be washing our toothbrush with soap every single night. Here he is.
Every single night, you should be washing your toothbrush bristles with soap and water. Not only can this greatly impact the amount of bacteria and plaque buildup in your mouth, now studies are showing the bacteria in your mouth may be linked to your cardiovascular health, including development of heart failure and atrial fibrillation. And once a week, soak this sucker in hydrogen peroxide or antibacterial mouthwash. Finally, if you get strep throat after 12 to 24 hours, throw this thing away.
Yeah, I've heard the strep throat thing, but all the other stuff is BS. How do you become a TikTok doctor? Sign up for TikTok and call yourself a doctor? Now, because I don't wash my toothbrush every night with soap and water, I'm going to get a heart attack? No, this is nothing, and it's actually ridiculous.
So how would you feel, Nige, if you walked into your doctor's office or even your dentist's office, and hanging up on the wall is a diploma from TikTok University?
I'm a TikTok doctor, and I'm telling you, you should wash your toothbrush with soap, or else you're going to have AFib for the rest of your life. No. How do you store your toothbrush? I store my toothbrush in the most rudimentary, unclean way. I've got a single drawer in the bathroom, and I just set it in that drawer next to the toothpaste. I don't have a toothbrush holder with the holes that stick out.
We've got that.
Anything. That's the way my whole family is. I'll set a toothbrush on top of my son's toothbrush. It's not anything hygienic at all.
Well,
and I do just fine. And if plaque is going to build up, it's not because of bacteria. It's because I'm not brushing my teeth.
Well, the fine folks from the TikTok Medical School say, have fun with your early grave.
You're going to have a heart attack if you don't wash your toothbrush with soap. It's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Is this anything? Tim Hortons accidentally sent an email telling thousands of customers that they've won a $40,000 fishing boat.
Oh, no. Hortons is like a gas station, right? Like a convenience store?
Now a bunch of angry Canadians are demanding their boats. They're threatening a class action lawsuit.
Okay.
Here are Jody and Jamie talking about the disappointing news.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I was thrilled. I could not believe what I was reading. I expressed to her that I was, you know, shocked and saddened.
It's frustrating that they can tell you you won something and then just say all of a sudden you didn't win it. Like, that's the frustrating part, and it just doesn't make sense how they can do that.
They do owe people what they won, and an email just isn't going to cut it.
Well, what do you want? Somebody hit the wrong button. Like, do you actually think you're going to get any sort of compensation for a mistake? And I'm wondering, who was the lucky guy that did win the
boat?
The boat. There's at least one person that won a boat, right? A $40,000 fishing boat. But come on, man. Just get a life. They made a mistake.
Did you watch that Netflix documentary about the kid, I think it was late 80s, maybe early 90s, that tried to sue Pepsi because he claims he wanted the jet, the Lear jet that they used in a commercial?
Oh, he had accumulated enough points or credits or something like that?
He found some loophole in the rules where he could buy points.
Yeah.
So he found a financial backer, and the points that he bought was substantially less than the cost of buying the jet. So he found a backer.
He won, didn't he?
Well,
he was somewhat successful with that lawsuit.
He went to court. Pepsi made him an offer. You know, spoiler if you haven't seen it. Pepsi made him an offer, but he said, no, I'm taking it higher. I want the jet. And then he lost.
Yeah,
Michael Avenatti's in that. Like, Michael Avenatti was one of the guys that was on this guy's side.
Of course he was. And that makes, now it all comes together. It makes perfect sense.
It's totally disgusting, and I hate myself for saying this, but Michael Avenatti comes off as like a good guy in this thing.
Well, yeah, he's a sociopath. That's what sociopaths do. That's how they act. You think they're a great guy, but they are really psychotic.
Is this anything? On the Kelly Clarkson show.
Oh, I DVR it every day.
Actor Henry Golding from Crazy Rich Asians.
Have you ever seen that, Allison?
I've never seen it.
I have.
It's actually really good.
Yeah, my wife saw it. Said it was
really
good.
Funny.
So Henry was the guest, and they're having a conversation about how he had a pastrami sandwich for breakfast. And a lot of people thought that that was odd and awkward. And then Kelly Clarkson says something that a lot of people immediately responded with, that's what she said.
I just felt like a pastrami
sandwich. Did someone stop you and say, oh, it's a classic thing we do here?
I called my friend. I was like, oh, I'm having breakfast. I'm getting a pastrami sandwich. They're like, that is the strangest thing. That's weird.
Yeah.
Meat first thing in the morning. No good.
Well, steak and eggs.
Yeah. There you go.
I don't mind meat in the morning. Yeah. We'll still... okay.
Catch it.
I don't mind meat in the morning.
Hold on.
Are you serious? Those are the words I used? Like, did I just say that? It's not a bad thing, though. Okay.
I don't mind meat in the morning. Go to Big Dave's Deli there in Zionsville and get their the big boy breakfast. Two eggs any style, choice of meat, hash browns, couple pancakes. And she's right, steak and eggs. Now, pastrami sandwich for breakfast? No,
I could eat one.
Really?
Somebody hands me a pastrami sandwich at 8 o'clock in the morning.
Now that
this fat hillbilly is doing some work.
My recommendation, if you want meat in the morning, yeah, Big Dave's Deli, Zionsville. They got the Big Dave's breakfast sandwich, which has got a ham on it, bacon, hash browns, all the good stuff.
There's no wrong time
right.
for meat.
Well, pastrami, though, seems a little strange. I'm not that big of a pastrami fan, but I understand what you're saying.
Allison, when it comes to breakfast food, do you have to have it specifically eggs and pancakes and stuff like that, or is there a place for meat in the morning?
I don't know how to answer this.
You guys got a lot of growing up to do. You guys are so immature.
I'll just take coffee, please.
Okay, good answer.
Got a lot of growing up to do.
The Hammer and Nigel Show.
And just an awful situation, tragedy. Earlier this week, Hendricks County Sheriff dying in the line of duty April 16th. It wasn't a police action shooting or anything like that. It wasn't a criminal firing at him. He was going to help out a crash victim. They had crashed into some power lines. Somebody got out down power lines and was electrocuted. And it's just totally random freak accident. And you pray for his wife and the two kids. And we now have funeral arrangements, right, Hammer?
The visitation and funeral service for fallen Hendricks County Sheriff Deputy Fred Feisler will be Sunday at Cloverdale High School. The time for the public visitation still being determined. The funeral service will begin at 3:00. The Hendricks County Sheriff's Office said there will not be the traditional law enforcement vehicle procession.
Really?
This is per the request of the family.
Oh, okay. All right.
And they're having a private burial that's going to follow the funeral service.
Are there any scam donation sites? You always see these things pop up when an officer dies.
Yeah, right? Unfortunately, there are some scumbags, the lowest level of human life, that are trying to capitalize on this. The Hendricks County Sheriff's Office warning that there are some scammers out there, and if you're unsure about the donation link that you may find on social media, just make sure it's either ran by the Hendricks County Sheriff's Office or the Central Indiana Police Foundation. And when you make your donation, put in there Deputy Fred Feisler in the memo. So those are the two places, Hendricks County Sheriff's Office or the CIPF, Central Indiana Police Foundation. They're the ones doing the official fundraising.
It's like all the stuff you have to be worried about when you're a police officer, from ambushes to dealing with gangs to dealing with drugged out individuals who are armed to, you know, dangerous police chases, and you die in the line of duty because of downed power lines trying to help a crash victim.
Right.
I just hate it. I don't understand it, and you can only give your thoughts and your prayers to the families of the fallen officer.
In a new report, Alaska Airlines ranks number one on the list of best airlines. Now, this may come as a surprise to people because there was a little situation where a door fell off of an Alaska Airlines flight.
And it didn't fall off on the tarmac while they were, going to the gate. It was up in the air. It was flying. It was mid-flight.
Yes.
When the door fell off.
Something from like a Harrison Ford movie.
Sure.
It was wild. Now, this survey, if you will, about the best airlines, I'm not sure I'm buying. Now, I've never been on Alaska Airlines. Some of these airlines I don't think we have here in Indy. SkyWest was second, followed by Spirit coming in third.
Do we have Spirit? I thought we did.
We have Spirit. The big yellow planes, yeah, for the most part. Coming in last place, ranking 12th, Southwest Airlines, because of all the cancellations and delays that they've had the past year.
Okay. I've never had a bad experience on Southwest. It's just anecdotal. I understand that, but I've always had a good experience.
Is it the best airline?
Now, my wife travels a lot better than I do. She will United or Delta. She will always book Delta if she can.
I've always had issues with United. United flights have always been either delayed or they've overbooked it. One time I did that situation where they start passing out money to people. Yeah. Hey, if you take this voucher check, you can hop a flight later on. I did that once.
How much?
It was a short flight too. It was just Chicago to Indy. So I got $500.
Damn.
I mean, I was willing to drive. Hell, it was only a 3-hour drive. So I got $500 and I just caught, a flight a couple hours later, bellied up at the bar at O'Hare and watched a Cubs game, flew home a couple hours later.
Yeah, no, I think I'm pretty sure Lindsay, she travels a bunch. Delta is her favorite. And because she's with Delta, it's no nonsense. It's all business types that are traveling during the week. Everybody's
a little bit more
suits.
Expensive than the other ones. Yeah. Delta is. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but when your company's paying for it.
Right. When it's not your dime. First class, baby.
No, not first. She doesn't. She can't do that.
Bring on the lobster. Bring on the drinks. Allison, when you travel, what's your experience? What airlines have you done well with?
I'm with Nigel. I've actually never had a bad experience with Southwest, and I know it's controversial the last year or so, but I've personally, and for customer service, they're probably the best. The only one I just won't do again is Spirit. They're one of those where they say they're cheap, but then they add in all the luggage fees.
The nickel and dime you.
That's like Allegiant.
Or just the chair fees. You have to pay to go to the bathroom.
Right.
It adds up too much.
You know what? I flew Allegiant for the first time to Destin about a month or two ago.
That was your first time on Allegiant?
First time on Allegiant.
Really?
Yeah, it flies into, I think, Fort Walton officially, but I had no problem with it. No problem at all. I think it's one of the only major airlines that flies into that small airport. So we did Allegiant. No issues whatsoever.
I've flown Allegiant before into St. Pete. Not Tampa, but that little St. Pete airport. And that's where you get out on the I like the small airports where you don't, there's no hallway that you get out on. I forget what you call it.
Terminal.
Yeah, you get out on the tarmac. There's steps, and you get down to the Florida Sun.
You walk your ass across the tarmac to get where you need to be when you land in Fort Walton.
That's the last time. Yeah, and that's the last time I saw your cousin, Coach
Katie Geralds.
Katie Geralds at Purdue. I saw her in the I tried to strike up a conversation with her. I don't think she was having it. I think she was just, she was very polite. Don't get me wrong, but she was
long recruiting trip somewhere.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You work with my cousin Hammer. Oh, great. Nice to
Weirdo.
See you.
Weirdo.
If you're looking for a reason to drink tonight, how about this? Happy 37th birthday to tennis legend Maria Sharapova.
Russian
tennis star. She was once dating, I think, the lead singer of Maroon 5. She may or may not have been in a relationship with John Mayer. She is an attractive woman. But if you remember her, when she played tennis, she would grunt really, really loud.
It was almost a controversial thing. She would get in trouble for it.
Right. Somebody got you know, an audible device out to measure how loud she was grunting at one of the major tournaments, and her grunts measured at 101.2 decibels, which was louder than the lawnmower that you're using in the backyard. So imagine that going on for about 3 hours. So what we're going to do here on the Hammer and Nigel show to honor the 37th birthday of one of the great grunters of all time, here's 30 seconds of grunting from Maria Sharapova. Almost there.
That was totally unnecessary.
I think I see Harrison Silcox lighting up a cigarette in the newsroom. It's a very bizarre thing to happen. It's the Hammer and Nigel show.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Finding the right healthcare partner for your business isn't easy, but Hancock Wellbeing at Work can help. We're a different kind of program that combines employer clinics with a wellness strategy. And in a lot of cases, we can deliver greater health benefits at a lower cost. See why well-being for your employees is well-being for your business at HancockWellbeingAtWork.org.
You're listening to the Hammer and Nigel Show.
Did you know that tomorrow is the stoner eclipse? We just had the...
I know what you're talking about.
Major eclipse a week or two ago.
Right.
Translucent, transparent, totality. That's what I was...
Totality.
But the stoner eclipse is tomorrow. That's 420 this day. Is a palindrome. It won't happen again for another 1,000 years. 420 a day to celebrate weed and pot smoking.
Right.
420/24 is the same forward as it is backwards, Hammer. You understand?
So
what
tomorrow,
I'm
not only is it the Stoner Olympics, like Abdul is walking around here like it was Christmas, but it's also a palindrome. 420/24. It's the same forward as it is backwards here.
And let's all listen in because the celebration is already underway.
Okay, so a palindrome is a word or a phrase or a number that reads the same backwards as forwards, like madam or race car or taco cat.
Taco cat.
So check this out.
What?
April 20th is a palindrome day.
What?
420/24. When you read it backwards, it's 420/24.
Wow.
Dude, wow is a palindrome too.
Whoa.
I gotta be honest, the 420 stuff does wear me out just
a little bit. Yeah.
Like if you're a college kid and you're celebrating with your buddies, that's fine. But when you're, you know, like a 50-year-old attorney walking around celebrating people and high-fiving that tomorrow's 420, it's a little weird.
You're talking about Abdul.
I am.
Oh, come on. Give him a break.
Here's what we're going to do, Nigel.
He likes a good edible.
Billboard.com put out a list of their 25 greatest stoner songs of all time. So I'm going to play some of these for you. Tell me if you recognize what these are.
Well, hold on. Is this just 25 random? Or ranked like 1 to 25?
They're ranked 1 through 25, but obviously we don't have time to go through them all.
All right.
So I'm going to go through some of the ones and tell me if you know what the song is. This song was number one on Billboard's list of best stoner songs.
I'm in love with Mary Jane.
Who sings it?
She's my main thing.
I'm Rick James, bitch.
Yeah, there you go.
Just had to think about it for a second.
Rick James, Mary Jane. That was number one on their list, followed by Stay High by 3-6 Mafia. Legalize It was number three. But this song, coming in at number six, tell me if you know what it is.
Oh, Cypress Hill. Yeah.
You got that one quick. Like, Cypress Hill found a gimmick and they stuck with it, man. They rocked that stoner thing out for as long as they could. This is a list of Billboard.com's 25 stoner songs.
Is Sweet Leaf on there?
Sweet Leaf comes in at 7.
Black Sabbath?
I got 5 on it, number 8. The Next Episode by Dr. Dre and Snoop is 10. This song, it's an oldie, was number 11.
But I would not feel so all alone. Everybody must get stoned.
I mean, that's Bob Dylan, right?
Right.
Yeah, I've heard that song. I don't know what the name of it is.
Rainy Day Woman or Rainy Day Women 12 and 35. Okay. That's the name of the song. Others on the list, Smoke Weed with Willie by Toby Keith. You Don't Know How It Feels by Tom Petty. It's odd that that was the Petty song that they chose, because I would have said Mary Jane's Last Dance. But You Don't Know How It Feels by Tom Petty. And coming in at number 25 on the list.
My room is still messed up, and I know why.
Afro Man, yeah.
Because I got high. Because I got high. Because I got high.
Hammer and Nigel.
You believe these characters are weirdos?
So let's rock it.
My name is Nigel. Jason Hammer right over there. So for the first time in recorded history, this is crazy. It gets a little into the weeds. We'll dive more into this with Washington Bureau Chief Matt Boyle at the bottom of this hour from Breitbart. But basically, Democrats seized control of the House. Speaker Mike Johnson relied on the minority party, which was the Democrats. He relied on their votes to advance his foreign aid plan.
And when you say foreign aid, that means nothing for us. Zero for border security.
He's been talking. Mike Johnson, the speaker, told us over and over and over and over again, no Ukraine money without border security. Welp. He just came out with 4 bills. $61 billion for Ukraine, $26 billion for Israel, $8 billion for Taiwan. Nothing for border security. Now, after that, after there was some pushback, he threw out a 5th bill kind of as some crumbs on the border, but it's going to be ignored by the Senate.
So basically $100 billion altogether of my taxpayer money, your taxpayer money, all of our taxpayer money is going to outside countries while we have a wide open border here.
And he did it with Democrat votes.
Unbelievable.
I mean, they have control of the House now. He's surrendered Republican majority control to the Democrats. And like I say, we're going to get to exactly what this means a little bit after 5:30. But it's pretty crazy. And some of the same House representatives that kicked Kevin McCarthy out are now trying to do the same with Speaker Mike Johnson.
Now, let's not give a pass to some Republicans either, because 151 Republicans said that this was a great idea. 151, yeah. Including these from Indiana: Pence, Bouchon, Houchin, and Yakim. Those were the ones that decided that other countries need to get your money. The Republicans in Indiana that voted no or nay were Banks, Baird, Spartz, and Andre Carson, albeit for other reasons.
Oh, you didn't want to give money to Israel.
Right.
Are you kidding me?
Right.
Yeah, that's it.
Totally different reasons, but he was a no. But Pence, Bouchon, Houchin, and Yakim all decided your taxpayer money is best if it goes overseas.
But the point is 165 Democrats voted for this, and only 151 Republicans did. So Mike Johnson, the Speaker of the House, relied on the minority vote to get his bill passed. What does that say about the state of the House right now?
there's an old meme that floats around social media, and it's like an older guy, and he's wearing a red flannel shirt, and he's just opened up a gift, and it's the exact same shirt that he's wearing, and he's smiling.
Yeah.
That's what it's like right now with the Speaker of the House. You kick out Kevin McCarthy, and you replace him with Mike Johnson. It's the guy in the red flannel shirt. It's the same thing. So we'll have more on that coming up here at the bottom of the hour.
That's crazy. Nuts.
Remember when everybody was very concerned about Caitlin Clark's contract with the Indiana Fever? How little, wink, wink, she was going to make in those first 4 years of her rookie contract in the WNBA.
What was it, like $300,000+
right,
for 4 years?
And you had people like Russell Wilson, the Steelers quarterback now, put out a tweet praying that she makes more money. Praying, okay?
He's on his knees at bedtime with his arms and elbows on his bed. his fingers crossed underneath his chin, praying for Caitlin Clark's salary.
And listen, the WNBA salary structure has nothing to do with sexism. It's a business model. Their profits substantially lower than the profits of the NBA. The NBA basically funds the WNBA, so it's not fair to say, why does this guy in the NBA make more than Caitlin Clark? That's not a fair argument, because it's about profit margins of the league.
Maybe it'll change with Caitlin.
Maybe. After she gets in there and people start buying tickets and TV revenue goes up, they can change that collective bargaining agreement.
Yep.
You're absolutely right. Maybe she's the unicorn that can change all this. But I never for 1 minute thought Caitlin Clark was going to be hurting for cash. She's got an endorsement with State Farm. She's got an endorsement with Gatorade. And now this deal with Nike, $20 million.
Hello. Nige.
$20 million going to put out a customized shoe, and you know they're going to sell a buttload of those things.
I wonder if they're going to make only female, like women's shoes.
Right.
Will there be a male version of a Caitlin Clark Nike shoe?
I don't know.
Does that make sense? Is that even a question? Like, are there female versions of Jordans? There's got to be, right?
I would think so. And her jersey sales have been hot.
Oh, yeah.
They sold out the night that she got drafted. Tim McGraw was in concert here last night, and he goes on stage, and he had a Caitlin Clark Indiana Fever jersey on. But the thing is, as much as we're talking about how she's going to do such good things for the city, when you bring up her name right now, people still want to talk about Greg Doyle and his interaction with her at that press conference the other day.
Talking about the Indy Star sports columnist, the opinion writer.
Right.
The ultra woke dude that asked the dumbest, most fanboyish, embarrassing question I've ever seen. It involved him doing the heart sign, which she does to her family. And you do it to me, then we'll just be fine. You know, I don't want to go over it again.
And Everybody the way he said story. The things was creepy.
She hasn't really responded.
No, she knows better. Like, she's like Peyton Manning. She can handle the media. Like, she's had cameras in her face the last couple of years, like, everywhere she's been. Like, when Peyton Manning got drafted by the Colts, this dude was a pro at working with the media. She's the same way.
Sure.
She gets it. She's too classy to respond to the nonsense that Greg Doyle brought to her the other day. But you know who's not? AI Caitlin Clark.
Oh, no.
So, this is not the real Caitlin Clark. This is AI Caitlin Clark.
Oh,
but
no.
This is what I would have loved hearing her say to Greg Doyle the other night.
Hey, Doyle, what the hell is wrong with you? Congrats on making my first press conference here all about you. It will be a cold day in hell before I ever make a heart-shaped signal with my hands toward you. If you are so hell-bent on me doing a hand gesture to you, here's one. It's an extended middle finger, you aging, creepy weirdo. I'm surprised my dad hasn't came over here and beat that stupid goatee off of your smug, creepy face. You're old enough to be my dad, but perverted enough to be featured on Dateline NBC with Chris Hansen. On a creepy scale of 1 to 10, you come in at 14. You are in New York, Governor Andrew Cuomo, and Jared from Subway territory.
Oh.
You're creeping everyone out with your bald head and antics. Why don't you go cheat on your wife again and write another article on it wanting sympathy? Kiss my Iowa ass, you pervert. Caitlin, out.
That is AI, Caitlin Clark, responding to Greg Doyle the other day.
We might just have to end this segment right here.
Nigel's crying.
Oh, man.
We got Big Nige crying. I know we've done something well.
Damn.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
Finding the right healthcare partner for your business isn't easy, but Hancock Wellbeing at Work can help. We're a different kind of program that combines employer clinics with a wellness strategy. And in a lot of cases, we can deliver greater health benefits at a lower cost. See why well-being for your employees is well-being for your business at HancockWellbeingAtWork.org.
Okay.
Everything's gonna be okay.
Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm fine.
I'm pretty far from okay.
Are you okay with this? On the Hammer and Nigel Show.
Hammer, a woman in Brazil is facing charges after she wheeled a dead guy into a bank, Weekend at Bernie style, and tried to take out $3,400 worth of loans in his name. Are you okay with this?
I'm okay with this because that takes some you-know-what. Because, listen, these banks, they're not just going to hand over that type of money, you know, if anything looks suspicious. And I would think wheeling in a dead guy to the bank falls into the category of things that might look suspicious. Now, I've not seen the photos here, but in my mind, he's got sunglasses on, like a bucket type of hat, you know, maybe a trench coat.
Did she tie rope around their arms together so she'll lift her arm, but his arm lifts up too to make it look like he's waving hello?
This is my buddy Kenny. Wave hi, Kenny. He waves his arm up. That's so brilliant. I have to be okay with this because as dumb as it sounds and as dumb as Weekend at Bernie's was, I love the movie, so I gotta love this.
The Dallas Cowboys cheerleaders are getting a new reality series on Netflix. It's called America's Sweethearts, Dallas Cowboys Cheerleaders. My wife is going to love this show. It'll focus on the personal stories behind the uniform. Here are a couple clips from the last show, Making the Team, when the girls were trying to make the squad and the cheerleaders weren't very kind when commenting on the bodies of the tryouts.
And on the last six kicks, I was like, I can't make it. Oh my gosh, I'm going to throw up.
It almost becomes comical because there are some that just haven't looked at our uniform closely or haven't looked in the mirror closely.
Is that her crack? No.
Oh, it's a tattoo.
Is that her crack? No, is that a tattoo? Is this something you're going to watch on Netflix, Hammer? Are you okay with this?
I'm okay with it. I mean, because people are going to watch it.
Yeah,
now,
my wife will love it. Yeah.
Not going to be appointment viewing for me, but the thing is, like with these types of shows, Real Housewives or Dallas Cowboy Cheerleader Tryouts, the whole premise of it is chicks being catty. And I think there's a market for that, right? It's something about chicks, man. Like when my wife worked at a school for a while, the majority of the fights were female. It wasn't like testosterone-led dudes going at it. It was catty, just ridiculous chicks fighting every single day. And for whatever reason, people want to watch that. Now, as for Netflix, they're kind of going through a little bit of a transition right now. Like, yes, they're still going to have shows like this, but they're kind of dabbling more into the live programming aspect.
Yeah, they're going to have the Tyson, Jake Paul.
Jake
Paul.
Is
that his name? They're going to have that fight, and they're going to stream, I think in 2025, they're going to start doing WWE Raw. They've got the rights to Raw.
And that's going to be a big deal.
But Netflix has great documentaries, man, I don't know if you ever watched Full Swing, where the professional golfers, there's two seasons now where they follow PGA and LIV golfers, Making a Murderer, What was the one during COVID?
Tiger King.
Tiger King. They have great documentaries.
My son watched the Formula One series.
Yeah, I still haven't watched that. I need to watch that too.
There's that and the IndyCar series just so came many. Out there, which, man, that series needs the exposure. Like, I hope people watch that and they're like, man, I really want to watch IndyCar racing because I'm biased, but I think it's the best racing, pure racing in the world in terms of passing for the lead and things like that. So, yeah, a lot of changes going on at Netflix, and I'm kind of here for it.
A Taco Bell manager near Philly did CPR, saved a baby's life. Here's the mom and the Taco Bell manager talking about the scary situation.
The scariest moment of my entire life. I pulled him out and he turned completely blue and was lifeless. And at that point, I just completely blacked out.
I threw my headset. I ran outside. So I took the baby and I started to do chest compressions on the baby. And then he finally started to breathe. When my kids were little, my daughter had similar incidents. So I knew what she was feeling. So I knew if I just kept her calm and I stayed calm, then there was no thought in my mind that the baby wasn't going to breathe again.
Taco Bell manager saves a baby. Are you okay with this?
You know damn well there was somebody inside that Taco Bell that was like, yeah, that's great, lady, but where the hell's my Mexican pizza? What's taking so long back there? Where are my enchilada burritos? Oh, you got to do CPR. Fine. I want my meal for free. Because this is Philly, right? And that's how they are in Philly. Philly crowd is a different animal. But to answer your question, yes, I'm okay with this. Man, what a lucky thing that the Taco Bell manager happened to know how to do these types of things. How to know do CPR. That's a skill I think a lot of people need to learn. Like, I don't know if they teach that in schools anymore, like in a health class or anything like that.
I don't know.
If there's a course you can take. But, man, you never know when you may have to save somebody's life. Somebody may have to save yours or somebody you care about. Thank God this Taco Bell manager knew how to do all that. Which brings us to great moments in Taco Bell history.
Great.
This was a very somber scene in Alabama when a community gathered together to mourn the burning down of their beloved Taco Bell.
We're just out here giving remembrance. I mean, I think it was the best Taco Bell in Montgomery.
I can't eat here.
I felt like I lost a family member.
Well, I'm hoping we get closure tonight and we can move on to the next cause. But we're here supporting Taco Bell tonight, and that's what's important.
I'm hurt. My feelings are hurt. I got to go all the way to Perry Hill to get some Taco Bell. Hurts my feelings.
The Taco Bell had burned down, and they got together for like a candlelight vigil that night. Great moments in Taco Bell history. I know tomorrow, with the date being what it is, 420,
yes,
a lot of people are talking about Willie Nelson. But long before he was known as the mascot of 420, he was singing the jingle for Taco Bell.
He got off the bus at the border, went up, drove the woman with the rose tattoo. She offered him a ride, and when he got inside, she offered him something new. A steak burrito supreme from Taco Bell, she insisted that he try it. And a new zesty steak melt from Taco Bell, he had never had nothing like it. And when he tried the steaks off Taco, all of a sudden he knew that he'd always be indebted for the rest of his life to the woman with the rose tattoo.
You know it's an official branded Taco Bell product when you hear that Hell's Bell ring back there. And last, but certainly not least, and I think this is our producer Allison's favorite Taco Bell moment, the woman that was stuck behind somebody in the drive-thru.
Oh, no.
And the guy in front had ordered like $300 worth of Taco Bell. And the woman in the car, she felt like she had to inform everybody else in the line of what was taking so long.
Oh, my God.
Yo, the reason this line is so motherfucking long, because this motherfucker ordered $300 worth of tacos, and then he get Taco Bell no heads up. $300 worth of tacos. That's like 100 tacos.
Great moments in Taco Bell history.
My name is Nigel. Hammer's here. It is the Hammer and Nigel Show. Let's not waste any time and get to the WIBC hotline, where we'll bring on Breitbart News Washington Bureau Chief, one of the best, Matt Boyle, one of our favorite guests. Matt, happy Friday. How are you, man?
Doing well. How are you, sir?
Good. I heard you last Saturday on your radio show, your weekly show, just absolutely apoplectic, the House Speaker Mike Johnson. And I can imagine what you're feeling right now after he basically surrendered floor control to the House to the Democrats. And we'll get to that because that's important, isn't it? I mean, this topic right here is one that's under the radar, and Americans should be made aware of what's going on in the House right now. It seems like everything's getting overshadowed by this Trump, quote unquote, hush money trial. So we'll begin there. The 12 jurors seated for Donald Trump's trial. I don't like saying hush money trial, by the way, Matt, because it sounds like a shady, you know, envelope under the table deal. This was like a signed legal non-disclosure agreement. It was a document. It's a legitimate document for her to keep her mouth shut, and she didn't, and Trump should actually sue her. So now they're saying Trump paid off Stormy Daniels as a campaign expense, violating federal campaign laws. How do you see this trial? What are your thoughts, and where does it go from here?
Yeah, look, I think that every day that Donald Trump spends in New York City, he's going up in the polls in New York, right? Yeah. Like, so my view is that the Democrats realize they made a mistake when they did this, and I feel like they're trying to wrap it up as fast as they can because they don't want to admit they made a mistake, so they have to see the process through. But it does seem like things are moving pretty quickly. We were hearing reports at the beginning of this whole thing that voir dire could take weeks, right? It could be until May before there's a jury seated and blah, 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 blah. They wrapped it up in like 3 days, right? Like, so they realize that Donald Trump is then, you know, after he spends all day at court, he's going to things like the bodega at night. And if anything, he's making a dent in Joe Biden's control of New York State, which is a deep blue state, the Empire State. If Donald Trump wins New York, the election's over. So I think that this is backfiring bad on the Democrats. They know that this case, even if they were to achieve a conviction, I don't think that's a foregone conclusion. I think we could end up with a hung jury, depending, you know, based off what we've seen about these jurors that have been seated, and they might have set it up that way in that regard, right? Because they realized that this was a mistake to do this lawfare. But the fact is that. Even if they do get a conviction, this will absolutely 100% be overturned on appeal. Take it to the bank. This is, you know, so even if they get their headline, Donald Trump convicted felon, yeah. Right? It will be overturned, right? Like Donald Trump is not going to be a convicted felon, right? Like, so this is not going to happen. Their fever dreams are not working. So I think that whole situation is backfiring on the Democrats, and frankly, it's not working out so well for them.
But so you're saying. In effect, even if Trump can't get a fair trial in a county where Biden got like 85% and the judge donated to anti-Republican causes and Joe Biden's campaign, even so, this could turn out to be a good thing for Donald Trump?
Yeah, because I think that it shows that the Democrats are desperate,
yes,
right? Like
yes.
They're engaged in these desperation lawfare tactics. I spoke with Senator Tim Scott last week. He was saying... or earlier this week, he was saying that he thinks that this is only helping Trump and the black community, right? Like, and you know, obviously black voters, especially young black men, understand concerns about the justice system and have issues with it, and they are moving more and more towards Donald Trump in record numbers. We're talking about several 100% increase for Donald Trump among young black men voters, and even black women too. So what's happening here? Is that the Democrats, coalition that they depend on, which is they need like 90% of the black vote to win an election nationally. That's not going to happen for them this time, right? Like, and the more and more that they keep doing this and they keep dragging Trump through these nonsensical things for political purposes, I think the more they lose people like that. And again, the more time that Trump spends in New York, right? He just announced a campaign rally in May in New Jersey, right? Like, this is not looking good for them.
All right, we're speaking with Matt Boyle, Breitbart's Washington bureau chief. Let's move. Like I said, this is a distraction, too. I mean, the Democrats are concentrating on this because they don't want you to pay attention to grocery store prices, the southern border, disastrous foreign policy. And never Trump Republicans probably want you to concentrate on this whole thing, too. When what's going down with the House right now and Speaker Mike Johnson, I'm looking at this headline on Breitbart.com right now. House votes to advance foreign aid bills. 165 Dems back Johnson's measure. Speaker surrenders floor control. What is going on in the House right now, Matt?
Yeah, there is no longer a Republican majority in the House of Representatives. It's over. Speaker Johnson has now nullified the midterm election where Republicans took the majority in the House. This is the first time in history that a supposedly majority party with a supposedly majority rule has relied on minority votes to pass the rule, and both out of committee and on the floor of the House to advance the measure. This has never happened before in recorded history, right? Recorded history of these things. Of each individual rule committee vote and floor votes goes back to 1995, but we've looked for centuries back. We can't find an example of this, right? Like the rules committee and the rules process are usually a partisan thing. The majority party carries the rule, right? Like, and that sets the tone for what is going to be happening on the floor. How is the debate on a legislation going to be had? Which amendments are germane? Which ones are not? They did not have enough Republican votes to pass it. So Speaker Johnson had to cut a power-sharing agreement to surrender control of the House of Representatives over to Hakeem Jeffries. Now, Hakeem Jeffries is the co-speaker of the House.
Incredible.
The Democrats have operational control of the floor, and the Republicans have lost control.
Where did all this start? I mean, I thought, you know, Speaker Johnson was the guy. After they ousted Kevin McCarthy, they all voted on this guy. He was a good conservative Christian Republican. Where did all this start to turn for people like Massey, Representative Massey and Marjorie Taylor Greene?
Well, I think that part of it is, first off, the claim that he's a good Christian conservative. I mean, remember Paul Ryan tried the same shtick, right? Like, you know what I mean? Like, yes. No, like, that's nonsense. They are all power-craven, you know, monsters, right?
Point taken.
But the fact is that with regard to Johnson, he made a number of mistakes in the beginning of his speakership that are now coming to fruition. So the person he hired, we did a big story about this the other day on Breitbart. Now I can tell you right now, the speaker is aware of the story. He has refused to do anything about it. But the fact is that his top policy advisor is this man named Dan Ziegler. Dan Ziegler worked for Mike Johnson when Mike Johnson was the chair of the Republican Study Committee a few years ago. And then when he left that job, he cashed out. He went to a lobbying firm called Williams & Jensen. This lobbying firm, among the clients that Dan Ziegler had were a number of different pharmaceutical companies like Pfizer, Merck, Eli Lilly. In addition to that, he had major financial services companies like Visa. He had companies, energy companies like Bloom Energy. Bloom Energy literally has gotten subsidies from the Biden administration for green energy projects as part of the Inflation Reduction Act. But then in addition to that, there's also been news stories about how Bloom Energy, which is like a hydrogen energy company, has had benefits to its stock price because of the war in the Ukraine, right? Like because of the Russian war in Ukraine, because what's happening is European nations are moving off Russian natural gas into these other forms of energy. So Forbes magazine, as well as certain industry trade publications, have written about this. In addition to that, there's sensor companies that literally state in their corporate compliance public statements that they have a financial interest in the outcome of the war. Right? Like so.
And they're passing $100 billion foreign aid package that Mike Johnson is pushing through with the help of the
Correct.
Democrats. Incredible. Only a couple minutes left here. So are they still trying to oust Mike Johnson at this point, or does it matter now?
Yes.
Yes.
I don't think that this vote is going to happen. Look, they passed the rule today. They'll pass the bills tomorrow, right? They will have the votes for the bills tomorrow on the floor of the House. But the fact is that I don't think that passing this lowers the temperature at all. I think that we're in a new normal here. We are in a European-style coalition government between establishment Republicans and Democrats where there's a power-sharing agreement, and Mike Johnson and Hakeem and Jeffries are co-speakers of the House. This is the idea. So I think that I don't know if Johnson's going to get ousted tomorrow or next week or next month or whenever, but this is a new normal, right? Like, so what's going to happen here is the temperature is going to rise. I've spoken to Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene. She is the one leading the charge on a motion to vacate. There are now three members, Thomas Massie and Paul Gosar, have also joined her in that effort, and I expect that number to rise. Whether they succeed on a first go-around or the Democrats protect him is a question to be determined, but the fact is that this new power-sharing agreement is going to come under intense scrutiny, and I think that Republicans would be well-served to remove Mike Johnson and elect an actual Republican as Speaker of the House rather than a power-sharing person.
That is incredibly eye-opening. Thanks for the insight. What are you doing this weekend, man? What does Matt Boyle, Washington Bureau Chief, do on a Friday night in April? Are you going out with the
I prepare for my Saturday show,
right,
where I've invited Speaker Johnson on. He has personally acknowledged, I talked to him directly last night, he personally acknowledged the receipt of my inquiry. I hope that he comes on and defends himself. I have little confidence that he will.
Yeah.
So I'm preparing for my Saturday show. I work around the clock, 24/7, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, because somebody has to do it. These questions need to get asked and answered, and they're not getting pressed. And frankly, it's just disgusting.
You can find that on Sirius Satellite Radio, Matt Boyle's show on Saturday. He is the Washington Bureau Chief, Breitbart.com. Find all of his incredible work. Matt, have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you soon.
You bet. Thanks.
Beer Sample Friday, and it might be Beer Bong Friday again. That's next on the Hammer and Nigel Show.
And it's Beer Sample Friday.
Yeah. Right now.
Hammer and Nigel present. Beer Sample Fry.
I got some beers. Let's drink them, huh?
Beer's on sale, people. Come down and get you some.
Thompson Furniture and Mattress in Columbus, our sponsor, paying for this segment. And a quick shout-out to my man Abraham, who works at the liquor store next to McDonald's in Zionsville. I walked in there last night after the show, and he instantly recognized me. He goes, "You looking for a beer for Beer Sample Friday?"
Oh, that's awesome.
Now, when I brought him what I found, he kind of looked at me weird. Here you go. Here is the beer.
Okay.
It's not beer. Here's Allison.
Well, it's not the most masculine thing in the world, but I see what you're doing.
You see my angle here with the name of this spiked tea?
It's a spiked tea, and it's called Hoop. Hoop tea. H-O-O-P.
Yeah, a lot of hoop going on in Indy with
right.
The Pacers in the playoffs and Caitlin Clark being welcomed to the Indiana Fever.
Right. Okay. I'm not mad at this.
So cheers to everybody. Hoop tea. Hooped spiked iced tea. 5%.
All right. To a Pacers win, everybody. Sunday. Game one.
Really good. Really good. I mean, it's not beer, but you know what I mean.
I like it.
Yeah. Oh, that's pretty good. I'm not mad at that at all.
Now, we're bringing back the beer bong. Billy Bong Thornton.
You dominated this last week. Like, you rocked this thing last week.
I was surprised even myself. You needed a little bit of help. And so we're going to try it again here, right?
So I'm going to try it again. I stink at this. I am not very good at this because I can't swallow.
Hold this above the funnel.
Okay.
Hold the tube above the funnel.
We're holding the bong up. The bong's name, by the way, Billy Bong Thornton. Shout out to the film that gave us this, Half Baked. That was a different type of bong they named Billy Bong Thornton. A bong that a lot of people will be using tomorrow as they celebrate a certain date on the calendar here.
Keep that tube above the funnel.
I've got the tube up there. Nigel's filling up just a basic Miller Lite into the funnel here.
Okay. I'm going to lift it up.
All right. Hold on. Let me get untangled here. All right.
You ready?
Let's go.
Go, go, go. Just open. Just swallow. Swallow, swallow, swallow. Swallow. You got it. You got it.
All jokes, please put in the YouTube chat now.
Swallow. Oh, man. Hammer. Oh, you almost got it. You're getting to...
Oh, wow.
He's got it, ladies and gentlemen. The redemption.
Wow. That is a sight.
I still think I did mine a little quicker, but you were successful and finished yours in its entirety.
You know how hard it is not to laugh when I've got Nigel yelling at me to swallow and Allison's over there just making every face in the world at me. That was the hardest part of the whole thing. I'm trying not to laugh.
Swallow. That's right. That's a little weird.
The weekend is officially underway here in Indy.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Finding the right healthcare partner for your business isn't easy, but Hancock Wellbeing at Work can help. We're a different kind of program that combines employer clinics with a wellness strategy. And in a lot of cases, we can deliver greater health benefits at a lower cost. See why well-being for your employees is well-being for your business at HancockWellbeingAtWork.org.